I'd like to give Christians an apologetic about Christian apologetics.
Welcome to the podcast with your host, Craig T. Owens. Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now at craigtowens.com.
We should probably start at the beginning by giving a definition for the word apologetics. It doesn't mean to ask forgiveness, as in, I apologize for this. But apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to give a very reasoned defense, to explain the reasons why I believe what I believe, to lay out evidence, to lay it out in a very systematic pattern, to point to a very specific conclusion. We are called as Christians to practice this. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we are supposed to be good apologetics presenters. And I want to give it to you in three sections, this part that he talks about. The very first thing he says is really our motivation. He said we need to always have set apart in our hearts Jesus as Lord. That's the reason why we want to present apologetics. Not because we're trying to win an argument somewhere, but because we are so convinced that Jesus is who he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that we want other people to know this. So that is our main motivation. But then Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. That's really apologetics. We need to be prepared to give a sound answer, to give good reasons, to give logical evidence that leads to a logical conclusion. But then I love his third part as well. He says to do that gently and respectfully. We don't have to beat people over the head with the evidence. We can just gently and convincingly present the evidence, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to make that evidence come alive in other people's hearts and minds, just like the Holy Spirit made it come alive in my heart and my mind, and hopefully in yours as well. But I think that the most important reason for me of why we need to practice apologetics is because Jesus practiced apologetics. Let me explain to you what I mean. One of my favorite writers in the New Testament is Luke. Luke writes the gospel that has his name on it, the Gospel of Luke, and he also writes the book of Acts. Now, if you count up the number of words that are comprising the New Testament, Luke writes more words than anybody else, even more than Paul with all of his letters. And Luke, even by modern day standards, is considered a premier historian because he is very thoughtful about his words. He is very specific about the words he picks. In fact, Luke uses more unique words, in other words, words that only he writes in his books, than anybody else does. You won't find those words anywhere else in the Bible except for Luke. He's very specific about the people, the titles, the places, the actions. He's very precise, and you can tell that he's done his homework. So his two books are written to a man named Theophilus. And I want you to hear the ordered part, the apologetics part that Luke is engaging in right at the beginning. Here's how his Gospel of Luke opens. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were first the eyewitnesses, so that's an important part of his evidence, and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account to you. So he said, I didn't just take people's word for it. I heard what they had to say. I corroborated it. I went to firsthand eyewitness sources, and I wanted to make sure that I wrote down to you a very orderly account. Now, he writes this in two parts. So the Gospel of Luke goes from really the ministry of Jesus on earth, kind of just before his birth in Bethlehem, all the way to his ascension in Luke chapter 24. Then he starts his second book. He overlaps just a couple of moments, really kind of picks up the ascension of Jesus, and then he follows the history of the followers of Jesus. What do they do with the message of Jesus? So now listen to how he opens the words in the second book, the book of Acts. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After this, After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Now, here's what's happening. Right at the end of Luke chapter 24, Jesus says to his followers, you are going to be my witnesses and take this message, this good news. Remember how Peter said, give the reason for the hope that you have. I want you to tell everybody about the hope that they can have in me. But then he says, you need to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the first part of Acts chapter 1, because that is the person that is going to empower you to live out this testimony and to be a good apologist. You're going to be able to give good and convincing reasons. Now, in between there, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, this is one of those unique words that Luke uses. It's right here. Let me read for you verse number 3 again. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Those two words, convincing proof, is just one word in the Greek language, tekmerion, which really gives the idea of apologetics. It's tekmerion means I am going to give you evidence that is solid, evidence that is orderly, evidence that you can really have a hard time denying because it is so obvious that it's true. In fact, let me read for you out of the Greek dictionary the two parts of the definition for tekmerion. First one, something surely and plainly known or proven. The second part of the definition, indubitable evidence. I love that word, indubitable. It just means that it's without a doubt. Now, other translations of this verse in chapter 3, or excuse me, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, they'll say something like not only convincing proofs, but infallible proofs. But I like the way the Amplified version says it. A series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs. In other words, Jesus said, I want you guys to have this clearly in your mind what the truth is. We also see at the end of Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 24, that Jesus said, let me take you back to the scripture. I want you to be completely, totally convinced. I want you to see all of the evidence that all of the promises that were made and the prophecies that were given about the Messiah, Jesus says, were fulfilled in me. And you have seen it with your own eyes. You are the eyewitness testimonies to this. But let me make sure that you have all of this evidence. And in order to be able to present this evidence, to give reasons for the hope that you have, in order for you to do that gently and respectfully, you're going to need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be able to be my witness. You'll be empowered to be a witness everywhere that you go. So we need the help of the Holy Spirit, but we also need to use the mind, the brain that God gave us to study God's word, to think through the evidence that we want to present, to understand what a chain of events would look like so that we can lead people to the same conclusion that we ourselves have been convinced of. Set apart Jesus as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for the reason that you have this hope. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower you as you present those reasons gently and respectfully. Apologetics, it's vital for your life, and it's vital for people who have not yet been convinced or maybe haven't even heard the evidence for Jesus. So just like Jesus presented convincing proofs, indubitable evidence to his apostles so that they could carry it on, you too need to present that convincing evidence to others who ask you for the reason for the hope that you have.
Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now. To order, go to craigtowens.com.